So the first question is, when was Dignify founded, and what motivated you to be a part of the founding team?
Dignify was founded in 2012, and well, essentially the founding team was a team that had been together in two previous startups. With our last venture had ended, and we decided that we had some good ideas. We thought we had some IP that we could protect, and we decided we would go after the unmet medical need of treating bladder and bowel disorders in people with spinal injury. It was an area that large pharma would not touch because it wasn't considered profitable, large enough market. But we wanted to go there, and we knew that we'd be able to get some non-dilutive funding through the NIH by targeting, helping spinal cord injured patients.
Well, thanks. Can you tell a little bit more about your technology and how it is unique?
Sure. Yeah. So we have a number of programs where we've always been focused on bladder and bowel disorders. Again, we have 20 to 40 years of experience working in there in drug development. But our whole focus was on inducing on-demand voiding. So there's nothing out there that you can take, any kind of pharmaceutical, that will allow you to empty your bladder or your bowel within 5 minutes or so. And this is particularly an issue for people with neurogenic bowel, neurogenic bladder, spinal injury, Parkinson's disease, et cetera, that they have difficulty in evacuation. And they have to rely on bladder catheters and invasive bowel programs, very primitive and just means that aren't very dignified, and hence the name. We took that approach and said we have drugs that we believe we can develop, first in class, first ever, to induce urination and defecation on demand, and be able to give these individuals, a better quality of life, save on the healthcare costs, hospitalizations, infections, that kind of thing. So that's really where we stand out. There are no other companies that, as far as we know, that are doing that today.
It's incredible. That's really cool. So tell me a little bit about the past, I guess, what are we at, 12 years now? And maybe kind of walk through, what are some of the highlights of your success? What are some challenges that you faced along the way?
Sure. Yeah, so we started actually the company around a single molecule and a single, target, a molecular target. And we got some non-dilutive funding. We started off with a loan from the NC Biotech Center. I think one grant from the NIH, and we were able to at least develop enough data in order to support a patent filing. From there, we approached investors, and just happened to time it right. We got the seed funding in 2014, I believe, about $3 million from institutional investors. And the approach there was we had a one and done. We have a molecule that's going to make it through and make it to an NDA. And so that's what we're going to do. Well, unfortunately, that molecule ran into some issues with toxicology. So at that point, we were pretty much faced with the decision, do we abandon, like many companies would, or do we keep pushing through? We weren't getting any additional support from the institutional investors. So there we went to non-dilutive funding, and that's where I know we've worked with you, the guys, I think since probably 2013, maybe. And it was through your guidance, really, that developed our non-dilutive funding approach with the NIH, with SBIRs and STTRs. And so that really started about 10 years of consistent non-dilutive funding from both the NIH as well as the Department of Defense. And then, Biotech Center also, we received some loans from. But just I was just actually going through and reviewing what our funding timeline was, and I realized that over 12 years, we've submitted 66 grant applications. So that's about five a year. And we've gotten 21 competitive awards in 12 years, and that total to about $20 million. About a success rate is about 1 in 3. A lot of resubmissions, a lot of new submissions after two submissions, and of those awards, probably 17 have been either SBIRs or STTRs. Again, but I'll go back to the guidance from EGC. Really, how do you put a funding plan in place? How do you identify specific programs that are tailored to you, to specifically your needs, following up with the program officers, et cetera? I think that really helped us. And it's just perseverance, just deciding that we're just not going to stop.
Yeah, I think that's huge always. Yeah. Keeping at it. So, what would be some of the major milestones that non-dilutives allowed you to hit along the way?
Well, we were able to, we had to abandon our first program. And from there, we developed a backup compound for that program that was much, much more selective and is actually a compound that we have funding through the NIH through a phase one clinical trial next year. So that was one big step. But in addition, we think we've had two other main programs. One is heading towards an IND submission. Another one was very successful medical device program. However, that's still in the works. Yeah, it's gone to the back burner. But we've also had three separate programs in different areas that were funded through the NIH, through multiple rounds of funding, to the point where we realized that those programs couldn't go any further. So it's allowed us really to diversify, to raise quite a bit of money. Not all of that money has translated into an IND submission or clinical studies, but two of those programs have.
That's cool. And then you've got two new NIH awards, which we're really excited about. What are those going to specifically enable you to do?
Well, they're allowing us to modify a little bit our strategy to include multiple indications, and we're trying to kind of stay mum on what those are, but we feel that they're right in line with pelvic function, pelvic floor function, bladder and bowel dysfunction, that will be able to possibly increase the market that we'll be able to serve greatly. Now, these are phase one SBIR awards, so we'll see at the end of the award period. They've also allowed us, though, one of those is a training grant. So we were able to bring in a new PhD level scientist that will hopefully help to build our team. We're working on other training grants for other scientists that we've identified that would want to join the company. So we're looking at these two new awards as maybe putting us in a bit of a different direction and also allowing us to expand our team.
That's awesome. Now, kind of in addition to getting the money, as you guys know, there's the back end of managing the money. And so, we're grateful that you've used EGC for accounting services over the years. Is there anything that you would, be able to speak to about sort of the back end accounting and how EGC maybe has been able to support you and kind of doing the grants management and accounting on the back end?
Definitely. I can't stress enough that once you have probably over two awards, I don't know if this agrees with that. What do you guys think? But you need someone that knows the system, that knows the financial workings of not only the NIH but also the Department of Defense, NSF, federal agencies, to be able to guide you and keep you on track. And where this is really important is once you start bringing in over, I think, $750,000 a year in awards, in grant income per year, you're required to have an audit performed. And if you don't have the kind of financial accounting support that such as you guys provide, to be able to take all of your accounting records to an audit service and just be able to hand it to them, and they can look at it and say everything's good. That's saved us headaches. We've never been in trouble. So all I can say is that it's all been a success story as far as working with you guys in accounting.
Great, thanks. Yeah, they finally raised the 750 to 1 million a year, but still,
Right.
it's, yeah.
Just heard.
It's still a big pain that I know you guys go through. What other milestones do you have ahead? What are you looking forward to?
Well, we're looking to forward to an IND filing next year for one program. And for the other program, we're looking for an expedited path to an NDA using a 505(b)(2) approach. So we have a molecule that's already approved and on the market, and we're repositioning it for use in bowel dysfunction. So we think that that's going to be very attractive to investors for a very small amount of money to be able to advance a program to an NDA within just a few years, which is, as you know, is pretty remarkable. So we're working very hard on that program now also. So to have two programs in the clinic within the next 1 to 2 years, again, will elevate Dignify to a clinical status company, and also I think facilitate in discussions with future investors.
That's awesome. That's exciting. What advice would you give to somebody just getting started, to a new entrepreneur?
Well, first, I think be prepared that it's going probably will take you longer than you think. We thought we would be done in 3 years, and we're still at it at 12. So you've got to have that mentality, unless you want to just stay in for the short term. But I think most scientists and people that are really dedicated to what they're doing don't want to do that. So plan on a long time, plan on working hard and not giving up. If you get going for non-dilutive funding, submit your application. When you get the summary sheets back, you take those comments into account and address them and resubmit. Work with the NIH and the study sections. They're there to not only give you credit, constructive criticism, but also in the long run to help you and improve your applications. But then I think too, having a group like EGC at your side as you're moving forward is just indispensable. You have the financial accounting support. As you know, we've used your grant writing services early on to really kickstart our SBIR awards. An organization such as yours alongside you will go far. And even if you have to pay a little bit of money out of your indirect funds from the grants, it's more than worth it.
Thank you. Thanks.